Have you ever felt the pull to completely change the direction of your life, even after decades on one path? That's exactly what Michelle Henderson did. After more than 30 years as a teacher and a behavior analyst, she followed her soul's calling and became a certified spiritual advisor, deepening her studies in mediumship as well. In this episode, Michelle shares her journey of transformation, her work with intuitive youth, and her powerful channeling of Sarah. Together, we explore how truth, wisdom, and love can be woven into the fabric of everyday life. Get ready for inspiration and a little bit of magic on this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I am lucky enough to be with Michelle Henderson. I introduced her in the intro. And in addition to the touch points I included, Michelle, I want to welcome you and let the audience know you're the author of several books. One, a book about Sarah, who you channel and is said to have walked by Jesus's side. You have written several books on intuition for children, which I'm super excited to look into. Like I told you before we recorded, I'm particularly interested in this topic and really supporting children in knowing their intuitive self. So I'm excited about that. But I just first want to say a really big welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And I am so excited for this conversation. And yes, I love talking about intuitive children because, you know, being an advocate for them is so important.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, like I said, I mentioned in the intro, but you spent 30 years as a teacher. I think you said a dietitian.
Yes.
And a behavior analyst. And so a few years ago, you can enlighten us, you changed course to bring in new skills to your skill set and to what you were here to offer the world. But how did all of those years inform the work you're doing today as a spiritual advisor?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I really feel like you are given the skills that you need so that you can help others spiritually. And so whenever I was like anybody else on this human earth, trying to live, trying to make money, trying to make a difference. And any educator that goes into education, they are there to make a difference in everybody's life. You know, you have to. And so, and you love children, which I absolutely love the energy of children. Yeah, so I learned quite a bit working with children, working with their parents, and I used my intuitiveness. And I have always had, and I always call it my gut feeling, because a lot of people always, you know, they're going, what do you mean by intuitiveness? Now it's getting to be one of those words that you can use. But when I was younger, I would always say, I've got that gut feeling. And I just could connect with energy with the parents and also with the children. And so what I learned in education was so powerful because I was able to meet the parents and the children where they were. And as an educational diagnostician, I moved up so that I could really help develop a program that was for them in the school system. I just knew what they needed in school. I knew what the program needed to look like. And so I always use that intuitiveness, even as a behavior analyst. Now, as a behavior analyst, I was able to communicate with children. And I didn't really understand what was happening, but if I had what we call a meltdown from a child, I could use my energy and connect with their energy and start communicating that way. And I could just see them calming down.
Wow.
And, you know, and I would try to talk to them, you know, through my mind. After 30 years, I was really burned out. And I felt like, you know what, I'm being told and being pulled to become a psychic medium to also help others spiritually. Because to me, I think I learned in education that these children really need to know that there's something greater than themselves when they get stuck in life. We do, but children really do. So I think just seeing a child grow up from zero to, 18. And then when I had my own children, I got to see their developmental stages as well. So just knowing the developmental stages are so important to help an intuitive child.
I agree with that. I think that so often, even when we go into these professions, working in schools, we may have classes in child development, but I would imagine, I know in speech language pathology, we had some, but it wasn't as deep as it needed to be. And, you know, even when we go to parenting, we have generally no idea of these stages aside from, you know, tick marks in a book. But I love that because you learned on the job what those developmental stages look like over and over and over in the classrooms. And I want to remark too, I love what you were saying. I think teachers, any teacher who is listening is going to love to hear your model of how connecting with a child on an energetic level is possible. And I bet that some people are doing it and they don't even know it because
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, and I think a lot of our teachers are empaths, so they can feel into the energy of their classrooms. And again, they don't realize it and they take it home with them. And they are like exhausted from all of the energy that they've had in the classroom, not only physical energy, but also the energy from the children. You know, they're taking it all in.
That's an important point. You've got the energy of the children in the classroom, all the things that need to get done. And I would imagine the rigors of what the school requires you to be accomplishing within that classroom. That's a lot of energy.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I would do now? I would actually cleanse the energy now because I know so much is just to cleanse out the energy each day and start fresh. And then you have, you know, new energy coming in with the kids. I think I would change a little bit because I know that now.
You know, I just am going to ask you right now, do you provide that kind of service for teachers, like one-on-one? Or I know this is not exactly the kind of thing that goes into classrooms, but I bet that someone listening would be like, I want to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Why didn't I think about that? Because when you get so involved, you don't really think about it. Now, right now, I do not have a service with teachers because my main focus was really to work with the families, with children, with intuitiveness. And I did forget to mention that whenever I was a behavior analyst, I did go into the home to, I don't want to say train the parents, but to give them some ideas how to work with their child or nonverbal child or and do some ABA therapy. And so that really helped me as well to understand how to work with these children and their families.
Yeah, I love the building blocks of your career.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your turn towards it was a pull, the universe pulling you in a new direction, coupled with the fact that you were burnout, you were tired and exhausted and needed something new. And then what did that look like? Remind me where you got your spiritual advisors, because I recognize the Institute, but...
Oh, yes. I know, and she has changed it as well. But back when I received it, it was through Lisa Williams International School, and she has changed the name. But if you just put in Lisa Williams, it will come up.
Okay.
And yeah, right before COVID, it's so interesting. Everything happened right before COVID. I told my husband, I said, you know what? I'm being pulled into spiritual business. And I'm ready to let go of where I've been. And he said, absolutely. So he was so supportive. He's going, yeah, you go. And so I took the 9-month program to learn how to be a spiritual advisor. And that really helped me open up and learn these skills, because just being intuitive, you've got to really dive into and really work on your skills and these exercises and be confident and really learn how to work with this energy. Because sometimes you know it's there, but you just don't know how to work with it. And just like anything else, you need the education behind it. So I tell everybody, if you want to work with this, if you are very in tune and you're a little afraid of it, the more you know, the less you're afraid of it. Find a spiritual teacher.
Yes, I love it. I love it so
Yeah.
much. And that's a such a beautiful thing because Mystical Sisterhood is just this now, this bevy of resources. So whatever someone's looking for, it's likely to have been talked about or it's coming.
Yes.
So then you got your certification as a spiritual advisor. Tell me about when you began to channel Sarah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. So a couple years later, because I did, it's interesting because the spiritual world will give you what you need to carry on your journey to help others. And then they'll give you something else, and you go, oh, I thought I was okay. I was doing fine as a psychic medium. But no, we have to keep adding. But it's, but that's all in line with anything else. So I started channeling, and with my mediumship was really growing. But whenever okay, let me back up. My spiritual advisor, my teacher, Lisa Williams, started a program with plant medicine. And so I started with this plant medicine. And that really opened up my heart chakra. And I mean, my mediumship just went out of the roof then. And because I didn't realize I was still afraid of certain things that I was doing and kind of fearful because of my background, my programming as a child and growing up Christian, I was still fighting it. But with the plant medicine, it just really opened up the door. So after that, I started. Really med I thought I need to have a spiritual practice every day. So I started doing meditation every day. And that's a very deep meditation. She came through with Jesus. And Jesus, and I've always had a great relationship with Jesus. So his energy, I knew that he was coming in. He said, I want you if and he gave me permission. He said, would you channel Sarah and tell her story? And I said, well, absolutely. How can I say no?
And
So,
who was Sarah? Was she a figure in his life?
yes. So, yes. And that's what I found out. So, as I'm channeling Sarah, I was very, and that's when in the very beginning of my channeling, I'm going, is this, am I really channeling? You start questioning yourself. And then the things that came up in her story, I'm going, okay, I am channeling this because this is going against my belief system. And one point I almost decided to quit. I thought, you know what? I don't want to. This is kind of uncomfortable for me. A lot of people are not going to believe me. And then something finally told me, this is not my story. It's Sarah's story. So I thought, okay, I'm feeling much comfortable now. So I continued with it. So to come find out that Sarah really helped Jesus around the campfire teachings. And, back then, women did not do much of anything, but he was an advocate for allowing women to minister at the campfire. And so she was a very big part of that. And then one evening, he came to her and he said, would you come with me? And she said, okay, of course. And so they walked down to the mountains and there are light beings there. And she's going, and back then, they're star people. And she said, what, you have help? I didn't know you had help. I thought you were doing it. He goes, oh yeah. He goes, it's me, but it's also, yes, I'm having help.
That's amazing.
And she said, he goes, Jesus asked her, would you mind being my spiritual, my feminine side? And she said, oh yeah, because he said, I'm the male side, I need my other half, and you're perfect for that. And so the next morning, people were calling her Mary. And they were saying, you're Jesus's wife. And she goes, what? I'm married? And so she went to Jesus and she goes, why is everybody calling me your wife? And they're calling me a different name. And he said, well, the star people have reset everything so that they remember you as Mary and that you're my wife. And they don't remember you as Sarah, but they remember you as Mary. And she goes, so that we can finish what we need to with our mission, spiritual mission. And she goes, all right, this is awesome. So, and so it's the spirit of Mary Magdalene is who she's supposed to be.
Okay.
And she what did not want to come across as Mary. She wants to come across as Sarah because she feels that people worship Mary. She goes, I want to come across as a woman, a spiritual woman who is bringing the loves, Christ consciousness, awakening to the earth right now. And she said, there's so many stories about Mary. And, you know, everybody will resonate with different stories. And she said, you know, if you don't believe the story, it's okay. You need to really look at the meaning behind the story.
Wow. That's really powerful. I think when you shared about Sarah and ministering to women, and that number one, because I'm feeling that this is coming to you at the exact right time to share these messages, that universal message right there,
right,
with women,
right,
and women leading campfires and circles and, you know, workshops and groups and really using that feminine voice. And it's interesting you say the thing about how Jesus said, I need the feminine counterpart, because a good friend started channeling the Father energy. Mm-hmm. And she said, now when she does her readings, she says, one does not occur without the other. The mother is always there with him. And so I found that that's correlated to kind of what you're sharing here too, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Because
when you start to see, when I think most of my listeners are very comfortable with subjects like these and this reality that channeling is happening, messages are coming through to assist humanity, and that they're coming through to assist humanity right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very interesting, the timing, like he said, because I'm not the only one who is channeling, you know, the female energy. There are so many people that are channeling and waking up spiritually. And I think it's just an important time for that, because we're raising the frequency of Earth.
Well, I'm excited to read your book now, just knowing a little bit of the background. I think when I met you and looked at your information, I wasn't sure what the book was about. And then I looked a little further and realized that you were channeling Sarah. So, you know, and I just want to make a remark too, is that if we grew up in a Christian religion, then we might have certain meanings attached to Jesus, or I think you mentioned when we set our intentions before we recorded, God. But I want to talk a little bit about that, because like I said, for most listeners here, they've got a broad concept of what that is. But I would say, like, even for myself, it was probably just a few years ago that I started to hear the term Christ consciousness. Wow. And now I use it. And for me, it means that Christ-like nature of love and benevolence and, you know, outreach to our fellow humans. And, you know, that's when I use it. I'm coming from that standpoint, regardless of anything that I was taught in my Catholic religion, which I don't personally practice anymore. But, and just like this idea that some words have been stigmatized and they have been assumed to have a certain meaning. But sometimes we have to heal our relationship with those words. Mm-hmm. We don't need to, but we might be being called to. And it took me a while to kind of look at these words. Why am I having such a reaction to them? Yeah. And, you know, it could be my choice now in my life never to use any of them. But I think it's a really interesting part of the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And I always look at my background, my Christianity background, as, you know what, it was there for a reason. And I moved forward from that. And I learned so much. And again, that's where I found Jesus, and I felt very close to him. Even going to church, but whenever people would start saying that he gets angry and so forth, I'm going, I don't really can't relate to that. But with Sarah, when we're getting to Christ consciousness too, Sarah broke it up. She's saying there are three elements are in the Christ consciousness. So the first one is knowing thyself, knowing who you are. And that doesn't mean knowing who you are on earth. It's who you are with your soul, who you are spiritually. And a lot of people are really seeking that out. What is my purpose? So the first thing is finding the truth of who you are. That is so important. So that's where the spiritual growth is. And the uncomfortableness is always good, because you're learning from it. You're moving forward. It gives you that empowerment of moving forward. The next thing that she said is wisdom. So once you find out who you are spiritually, that wisdom starts coming in. You start channeling things. You start saying things that you didn't know you should be saying. Other people will say things and you're going, wow, that's a good coincidence, you know. So use that wisdom, your choices every day. Think from the heart, not from the head. And then, of course, number three is love. And that's what Jesus was all about, is love. That is the ultimate. That is, you know, knowing what forgiveness is all about, that unconditional love, and that all comes together and you've got the Christ consciousness.
I like her definition of what that is. Thanks for offering that.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
this is all coming through you. You had big openings over time. And then you still have this interest in the intuitive children. And
Yes.
you decide to form some new work around that. Have all your books been written in the past few years?
So the intuitive children, yes. So that was also channeled, but in a different way. I
Okay.
mean, it was like I knew exactly what I needed in the book. I just knew as I started writing, it was just coming. But with Sarah's book, it was trans channeling. So
Okay.
I was allowing her energy to come through. So it was a little bit different channeling. The other was, like any artist, when they channel do their artwork, they're actually channeling. So I was channeling in a different way, and I
Oh,
was using that intuitiveness.
okay. I don't know what I was reading last night, but I read something that said, oh, I know what it was. It was Greg Braden's book called Pure Human. And he has this section on creativity and art and entertainment. And he's making the case for we must hold on to what makes us purely human at this time. But he said it in a way about the offerings that come forth because, you know, I think like, oh, I'm going to see a movie tonight, or I read this book and we think it's just pop culture, but that on a universe or spiritual level, all not maybe not all, but a lot of what we see is for the times at hand. So again, is it any, you know, coincidence or no that you're channeling these books in 2023, 24, 25, whatever it is, because we're seeing this need for understanding children in a different way, approaching them in new ways. And what, you know, that being said, what's important to know about paying attention to the intuition in children?
Oh my gosh, it is so important. And, you know, as you were speaking, I'm just going, you know, things have changed so much from whenever I started in the program or whenever I was raised. And I think the children are coming so much more, their frequency is higher that they're coming. So a lot of the parents are going, I don't know how to deal with this child, you know, and because a lot of this energy is also coming out physically because they're feeling it and they're seeing things that their parents are not seeing. So what's very important is just to embrace it and not to be afraid of it. Because a lot of parents will tend to be afraid of it and their children will pick it up immediately whenever you're afraid. And so just listen to your child and see how you can embrace them. If they want to talk about it, listen to them and don't try to put your thought process or your belief system into it because this is what they are experiencing, even if you are not. Now, every family is different. Everybody has a different religion, and it's okay to practice religion. But if anything spiritual come out, know that it's not anything to be afraid of when their child starts speaking, but really listen to them and see how you can help them feel comfortable in that situation.
Okay.
If my grandfather came through, I'd be going, well, what is he saying? What I want to know more about what does he want to say to us?
So can that, based on what you're saying, can the intuition of children, I think what I hear you referring to right now is when they may say, oh, who's this little boy next to me? Or I heard a voice, or I just saw something. And so that's a connection to another realm dimension that they might be voicing, hey, I'm experiencing this. So you're speaking to that. And
Absolutely.
yes, okay, that's really
Yes.
cool.
Yes. Yes.
We kind of touch upon this in different when I've talked about this sort of thing on the podcast, but they always say that children are closest to source when they're born, the source energy. And that when they move along, so when you watch them, I was at a coffee shop with my friend yesterday and we watched a little girl. She must have been like six or six-ish. And it was a warm day. She was outside at a table and her father was around the corner doing, I think, some sort of call. And she was, oh gosh, ever so delicately stacking cards, like playing cards, into the structure of a house. And she was so tuned into what she was doing. And it was so darling and amazing, mm-hmm. because we know kids are on phones a lot these days, this sort of thing. And right. so to see right. that, like them in their natural element. But mm-hmm. do you see those when a child was born highly connected and they may be saying things and sharing with their parents, do we see it fade away by a certain age range?
Where yes. But there again, it's all in this virtual world. Okay. So a child by age 7 will start tuning it down a little bit. I don't want to say it goes away. It starts tuning it down because of society and their friends, and they don't talk about it, and it's not really embraced, you know, that type of thing. As I'm learning, it's okay if this happens, because when they are ready, they will reopen it. And they may reopen it when they're a teenager, who knows? But mm-hmm. whenever they're ready, or if it's in their journey to open it and share it with the world, then they will. If they want to keep it to themselves and follow their intuition, and they're still helping the world, their energy, as long as they're happy and their higher energy gets out into the world, they're helping everybody, even if they don't use it. So yes. The parents do tend to be afraid. Well, my child has it. I'm afraid they're going to lose it. They're not going to lose it, but they will choose how they will use it on mm-hmm. their own. So no pushing.
Where did it get? Do you have any idea of where it got so misconstrued that if a child was coming forth with these intuitive abilities and connections, that it scared us more than excited us?
Well, I'm thinking there's two different areas. First of all, I want to talk about the movies. Movies, it's all fear. You know what I'm saying? The horror movies are making a lot of money on our fear. Okay. And then second, really our fear comes from our belief system. You know, from the churches saying it's going to be all evil. Anything that comes to you is evil. Don't listen to it. Don't open that door. That's what I kept hearing. Don't mm-hmm. open that door to whatever is coming to you. It's all evil. And so I think it's just in our programming and our society.
Yeah, that's a doozy.
Yeah.
It's
hard.
Right. I'm picturing from when I grew up, you know, Drew Barrymore in front of the television on Poltergeist.
Oh my gosh. Oh, absolutely.
And I, yeah. So yes. I hear you. I didn't, that's a good question, because I didn't know what you were going to say there. So when you kind of define the work that you're doing with intuitive children, is it mainly falling in that realm, or do you look at intuition for children in different ways as well?
Well, I look at everything. So it really depends upon where the parents are, you know, with their child. So I kind of walk them through. So if that's to answer your question, if they're afraid of it, you know, sometimes you cannot change that belief system. So I always talk to them, okay, how can we help your child maybe tune it down a little bit, or maybe help your child understand what's going on, and not to be afraid of it, and that she will open it at any time. Because I tell anybody that's around this child that even though religion will turn it down a little bit, this child will reopen it when they're ready, to conquer who they truly are. So, mm-hmm. you know, children are finding, you know, spirituality on their own, even though just like you and I from the church, and we followed our pathway through the river. You know, absolutely. We let it flow,
yes,
but it was very difficult, because it is hard changing your beliefs and letting go of things that no longer serve you.
I don't know if I've ever said this aloud on the podcast, because it sounded so grandiose, but I was switched to a Catholic school when I was in eighth grade after K through 7 in public school. And I remember, so I was all of a sudden in an environment where we were wearing more casual uniforms, but saying prayers at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. And even though I had grown up going to church every Sunday, I was not familiar with this world. And so I remember probably taking more religion classes. And I don't know if it was in eighth grade or somewhere thereabouts, where I thought we were learning about Jesus's works. And I knew, I'm like, we all have this within us. And why are we different than him? And it's something that I left buried in my mind and soul for so long, because it's like, who would actually say that out loud? That it wasn't just one person who walked the earth. But I find that really cool to look back on and say, like, oh, wow, you knew that. There was,
yeah, you just absolutely knew that, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're remembering. So, yes. So even, you know, people say, oh, I knew it. Well, yes, let's turn that around. You remembered it. You because remember. We come here not forgetting things. And there's a reason for that. So you can learn along the way. But when you start figuring things out spiritually, you're going, I know it. No, you're remembering it.
You're remembering it. That's really, and it's so funny, because I think before these times, the only way we had to think about that, this remembering, was deja vu.
And oh, absolutely.
That was like only one term we had to, because that's a remembering. So mm-hmm. I love the reminder that we're remembering what we already know.
And let me get with the deja vu.
Yes.
There's also a theory out there that says when you have deja vu, you're actually remembering, or you're seeing another timeline of your life.
Which fascinates me. I think that could it be a concurrent timeline?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you never know.
That's mind blowing to me, because yes. with all the different kind of areas you can learn about, it's that we're living in these different lives and timelines and possibly dimensions that.
I know it's hard. Yes. Yes.
But the more you hear it, and this is a podcast truth for me too, the more you hear it and the different ways you hear it, yeah. it allows you to be like, oh, okay, something's clicking. So yes. I'm remembering a little more deeply. Yeah.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is the concepts that I learned in church, it's almost the same thing, but mm-hmm. in different verbiage.
Yes.
In different terminology.
I think that's a really good point, because yeah. I mentioned, you know, listening to Greg Braden, who's a scientist, historian. And he, at first, when I was following his work about like, oh, our historic texts, like the Bible, the Talmud, the, you know, across religions. And I'm like, oh, he's getting a little too religious for me. But what I didn't realize was, no, these are historical books that when mm-hmm. I don't know this for sure, but when studied and put side by side, you start to see the same things and the true, like, synchronicities and the same wisdoms coming through. And it's mm-hmm. just been everyone, you know, one will say like, okay, well, they've been mishandled by right. entities. And then we misunderstood what they were trying to say. But I think that's super fascinating.
Oh, I do too. Mm-hmm. All in quantum physics too.
Oh, I know. Right. I know. And that, yes. And so we have actually touched on a lot of dimensions today of mm-hmm. all the possibilities, all, you know, the abilities. And do you see sometimes when I would imagine that if you're working with a family, with a child with intuitive abilities, you can get all sorts of ranges of consciousness for the parents. You can get really dialed in, tuned in parents to their own, maybe guides or connections. And then possibly ones who don't have any at all. I don't know if that would be a stretch for your work, because what, you know, how would it be that you ended up in their house?
Right. Well, let me tell you about that too. If the parents give me permission, mm-hmm. I can do that. If they do not give me permission, I cannot get into their consciousness or talk to, you know, their higher self or their loved ones or spirit guides. So, yeah. So I have to get their permission first.
Okay.
Because that's invading privacy.
Okay.
And before I do that. It has been helpful when a parent says, yes, you can, because that way I can talk to, like, you know, who is this child seeing? I think it's my grandfather, but I don't know.
Okay.
So I tune in. I say, yeah, it's going to be your dad that's coming through.
That is,
or your grandfather, you know.
Are you doing your work in person, Zoom, both? How do you do it?
Zoom.
Okay.
You can, yes, because you can get, people are surprised. You can do energy healing even through Zoom.
Yes.
It's incredible. Amazing.
Yeah. I love it, dear Michelle. I feel like we've touched upon a lot of
it. We have.
Is there anything that comes to mind? We've spanned from your early years, 30 long years as a teacher, to your spiritual work, to intuitive children. What else is coming to mind that's valuable to share with the audience, or you feel like you want to?
Yeah. So what's important, and I know it's very difficult, you know, on earth right now because of all the negativity going on everywhere. Just remember that there is a spiritual pathway that you are on, and to ignore that other stuff that is going on, because there's a reason for it. There's a reason why we're having a lot of chaos right now, because sometimes before we can go spiritually and things change, you have to have chaos, because people are beginning to let go of things or change things. So we're going to have chaos, but it's important for you to keep up your spirituality practice, to really see the good things that you have in your life, surround yourself with loved ones, and make wonderful memories, and get away from the TV. So that's what's, and keep up your frequency. And that's so important right now. And to do self-care and do the breathing exercises, do meditation, do exercise, be with nature, do woo-woo things, and don't hide behind a mask. Show people who you truly are.
That's so beautiful. I love it, because there is that push and pull people experience. And,
yes,
you know, is part of why you're saying that you're giving this permission to live your life amidst the chaos. It sounds like you're giving permission. You do not have to fall down that well and go into really worried fear, misery. You can, but I want to know the why. Why is it important to do these things individually? And I'm going to say for the collective.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, if you do it for yourself, you are actually doing it for the collective, since we're all one. Okay. So if you do it for yourself, it keeps the energy high up on earth, and it helps people heal. So if somebody is having a hard time leaving that negativity, and they feel your energy, they're going to want to say, wow, I love that energy. How do you do this? I want some of that. I want my heart to be opened. So, but it is so important just to keep it up. And like I said, if you do it for yourself, you're doing it for the collective, because, yeah, you know, the fragments will come together in the end. I love saying this. Each one of us is like a drop of water. When we come into a pond, we become one. So whenever it rains, we're all raindrops come into a pond, and you can see the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. So if you keep up that frequency, you're keeping our earth and humanity from going into the dark, because it can go, I mean, it can get darker, but we can change that as, yes, a collective. We can change it to have more light on earth.
I'm so happy that that message came through you, because we all need to, I'm going to take that sound bite and I'm going to make it available to people, because it's the reminder that we need every day. And someone, yes, said to me last week, every ounce of light matters. And I've repeated that to a few people this week. And even when we share that goodness in that smallest of sentiment, it is impactful. And so I'm so grateful, Michelle, for the work you're birthing and practicing in the world, and just gracing us with your presence today, and your love and your wisdom. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation. So thank you.
It's been fun. Okay. Well, thank you to the listeners, and we will see you in the next episode. I'll put in the show notes how to discover all of Michelle's work. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.